Things could not be worse for CNN right now. The main story is that they failed to draw viewers in the fourth Democratic debate, falling nearly 50% from the first debate. And it's true that CNN's ratings have been fluctuating and faltering for the past couple of years. It's also true that cable TV itself is seeing a drop in ratings, for sure. But CNN seems to be doing much, much worse than everyone else. Save one thing. The Trump bump. See, for some reason, CNN decided to flip the script, stop going on the ground and covering stories, and just start talking about Trump. All Trump, all the time. So the other reason things are pretty bad for CNN right now is that James O'Keefe of Project Veritas has been releasing information from a whistleblower, a now former employee, who recorded several conversations. And today, part three is out, showing that once again, I'm going to break this down for you, Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN, we can see that he dictates what they cover. They have no editorial independence, but he is wrong and pushing fake news onto the staff, who are then frustrated and morale is dropping because they keep talking about this nonsense. So basically, what do we have? For CNN, their ratings sink to a new low for 2019. They couldn't pull it in. The Trump bump doesn't, it's losing its effectiveness. And the morale of their employees, as we can see, it's collapsing. So let's start with this story from Fox News. Take a look at their ratings. And then, look, I got to be honest. I think we are seeing the eventual collapse of CNN. Now, don't get me wrong. They're doing really, really well on their .com, relatively. But they spend so much money, and things are just on a downward trend. You can't grow forever. Eventually, your business, you know, you're at the back end of the bell curve. And this may be the end for CNN. I don't mean today, like, CNN will cease to exist. But I mean, we're watching the slow demise of CNN and longstanding employees. Even, I believe, Ted Turner, the founder, they've been very critical of what CNN has become. Infotainment, all Trump, all the time. You do that, and you're going to start losing your core staff. You're going to lose passion. And eventually, people get tired of hearing about Trump. Let's get started with the story from Fox News about CNN's ratings. Admittedly, Fox News is a competitor, so naturally, you know, they'll have a biased perspective. Before we get started, head over to timcast.com/donate if you would like to support my work. There are multiple ways that you can give. The best thing you can do, share this video, because I am competing as well with CNN and Fox News, as well as MSNBC, and YouTube does prop them up. So I will make one more shout out. This is all available as a podcast. The Tim Pool Daily Show appears on all podcast platforms, and make sure you go and subscribe, be it Spotify, Google, you know, the Apple Podcast Store, whatever it's called, because YouTube is not a particularly friendly place with some pretty heavy rules. I mean, Apple has rules too, and YouTube is still Google, but at least they're alternatives. You can check out the full hour and a half podcast on all platforms. Let's read. From Fox News, they say, CNN may have been the biggest loser on Tuesday night as host of the lowest rated Democratic primary debate so far this election cycle. The network landed an average of 8.3 million views during the three-hour telecast. That marked quite a dip from its previous two-part debates in July, where viewership peaked at 10.7 million. CNN's debate also saw an almost 50% drop from the first debate hosted by NBC News back in June, which received 15.3 million viewers. In addition, 449,000 viewers watched live streams on various platforms from CNN and the New York Times, who co-hosted the debate. The fourth debate featured 12 candidates on one stage. I'm not going to read through the list of candidates. You probably already know. CNN and the Times faced an avalanche of criticism during and after the debate. The hosting news outlets received backlash for not asking the 12 candidates about topics including China, which has made big headlines in recent weeks amid the ongoing trade war with the U.S., the mounting tensions in Hong Kong, and the growing controversy with the NBA. But sure enough, they did get to ask about Ellen. So let me tack on a less important but still bit of bad news for CNN. The partisan nature of our country and how things are getting, combined with their obsession with Trump, they're also facing criticism because they're just not even good at that. They recently did a town hall that I can't mention because it could result in this video getting suppressed by YouTube. But the subject matter was considered to be more on the far left spectrum, to an extent. They faced criticism from moderates and conservatives because they were targeting a voter base that already supports the Democrats. So why do it? It's simple. CNN is trying to be bombastic to get ratings. It is a desperate plea for attention. Unfortunately, it doesn't work. Like Beto O'Rourke, they're pushing more absurd commentary and statements, and people are just tired of it. Moving on. Fox News says even the candidates slammed the debate hosts. Castro blasted the debate for not asking any questions about climate change, but making time for a question about Ellen DeGeneres' friendship with former President George W. Bush. Harris similarly called out the news organizations for overlooking climate change, immigration, and LGBT issues. And also that Anderson Cooper is facing some criticism for asking Joe Biden a question but providing the answer, saying you and your son were accused of, you know, of corruption. I want to make sure everybody knows it's not true. It's all false. How do you respond to that? It's like, wait. Can you please tell me why you've done nothing wrong, Vice President? And naturally, people said that's not what you're supposed to do. But it's clear that CNN takes a side. Let's read the last little bit. They mentioned that Tulsi Gabbard, however, may have had the fiercest attack, which she made on the debate stage. So I'm going to say this right now. I think Tulsi could have done a lot better in the debates, but she did have the takeaway moment when to their faces of, you know, the New York Times and CNN, to their figurative faces, their companies, she called them out and used, well, I'll just call them despicable. She said the New York Times and CNN have also smeared veterans like myself for calling to an end to this regime change war. She said, apparently gesturing towards the moderators just 2 days ago. The New York Times put out an article saying that I'm a Russian asset and an Assad apologist, and all these different smears this morning, a CNN commentator said on national television that I'm an asset of Russia, completely despicable. Gabbard appeared to refer to CNN analyst Bakari Sellers' comments, describing the congresswoman as a puppet for the Russian government. That's actually that was very, very bad for CNN to an extent, right? Normally, CNN doesn't want people on their network who might counter their narrative. It's not just CNN. And I have to be careful because this criticism, the evidence is directly pointing at MSNBC. Glenn Greenwald, a leftist, pointed out before how MSNBC would not have him on the air because he was challenging the Russiagate narrative. I believe it's fair to say the same is true for CNN. We frequently see these segments which host only one perspective and ignore what's actually going on because it drives ratings. And I have criticized some of the highest level staff to their faces, well, to their digital faces, online and in private messages, which I'm not going to release because we have private conversations. But I will tell you, I've had many conversations with high level staff at CNN which have not been flattering to them. But this says to me, CNN is in a pretty, they're in a pretty bad spot. And it's worse than just this. Now, the next article, the next two, I have to blur. They're going to be blurred because I'm going to be discussing Project Veritas, and I've already seen one of my videos deleted and one of my videos outright suppressed for discussing what Veritas has uncovered. I know I run the risk by doing it here, but as I said the other day, I'm not going to shy away from covering these because of the risk, whatever it may be. So here it is. In the latest expose from Project Veritas, we have a field ops manager saying that Zucker, the president, his 9 a.m. calls are BS. We are totally left-leaning, but we don't want to admit it. Everybody knows. And some of the criticism I've heard, well, actually, some criticism I have, I'll pull up in a second, is that, oh, everybody knows this stuff. No. Listen. We've learned something very, very important. Possibly, you know, let me put it this way. Is it an open secret? Is that the way to describe it? That we know CNN is a ratings-driven, profit motive-driven fake news network? That we can all criticize them saying all they want to do is rag on Trump all day. I mean, they've been jokingly called the Orange Man Bad Network. We can say that. We can say we've seen it ourselves. But to hear it from the staff and to have phone calls from Jeff Zucker leaked where he espouses fake news to his staff is probably the most important revelation in the whole fake news controversy cycle, whatever you want to call it. You can have people all look, the defenders of the anti-Trump people, the defenders of CNN will, of course, try and deny this. Don't listen to Veritas. None of this matters. Listen, when you hear it from the staff themselves, a 25-year veteran saying it is a shame what CNN has become. When you hear coordinators, longstanding employees saying we used to go out and cover the news only a few years ago. We used to go out and cover the news. Remember when CNN would actually be on site? I remember when CNN was on the ground in Ferguson. I saw them there, and I'm like, look at that. They got their truck. And they were wrong about a lot of things, but hey, at least they were there. They don't do this anymore. And, you know, we can speculate all day and night, but we hear it directly from Zucker's, well, digital voice on this phone call, where he talks about some of the most absurd fake news you could imagine. And this says to me quite possibly the most important thing, maybe what shows us why CNN is on the down, is facing their downfall, is that they have appointed a president who intervenes every morning telling them what to cover. No editorial independence, and he believes fake news. I'm not exaggerating. In the story, we learn that Zucker says, no, 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 we got to talk about this moat thing, that Donald Trump wanted a moat. Are you serious? Zucker intervenes 9 in the morning in this call saying, we got to talk about Trump wanting a moat with alligators in it. If you believe that Donald Trump wanted a moat along a southern border full of snakes and alligators, I got a bridge to sell you. First of all, what kind of snakes are you going to put in a moat? I mean, there are certain snakes that are underwater for sure, but what? I'm not sure those snakes are particular. I don't know enough about them, but sure. So we're going to get aquatic snakes and alligators for 2,000 miles? It makes literally no sense. Now, of course, the anti-Trump people are going to be like, well, I believe it. I certainly believe Trump's that crazy. I don't care what you believe. I want evidence. I don't want someone trying to sell a book. First of all, Donald Trump denied this. I'm sorry, man. I'm not going to believe Trump was literally calling for a moat. Barack Obama did the same thing. But Jeff Zucker says, we got to cover this story. We got to talk about it. Why? Stop. No, you don't. There's much more important things going on in the world right now than either Trump was joking and he leaned over and was laughing like, maybe we should do a moat. And they left. But if you seriously believe he got to a meeting and said, so how much would it cost for a moat? That's absurd. In the end, it was someone trying to sell a book. They were trying to sell a book. We've seen this before with the New York Times. It didn't work. This book, for instance, called Border Wars, is currently on Amazon at number 7,243. That's pretty bad. But this also brings me to another phenomenon. Washington Post, a book on Kavanaugh has real news, but it's lost in the furor over a botched New York Times essay. Right. Remember last month when a story came out that turned out to be fake news, conjecture with no evidence? Why? Because New York Times staff was trying to sell a book, and then it was called botched by the Washington Post, and they had to issue a correction. Not my opinion. The left has said it's not a correction, it's a note. No. The writers themselves referred to it as a correction on Hill TV. This book is currently sitting at number 19,711, hardly anything relevant. The fake news that comes out is specifically designed to sell books in many circumstances. And that's what you can expect. But when Jeff Zucker then tells his staff, cover this, what? A PR stunt? Cover a PR stunt with no facts, with no basis, that a reasonable person would think is absurd? What do you think happens? Your ratings will go down and your staff will be demoralized. I'm not surprised. Veritas has shown us so many staff members saying, we don't do news anymore. I'm not surprised. We also saw recently that CNN laid off many staff only a few months ago. Let me do this, though. I want to make sure I address this criticism from Steve Krakauer, who used to work for CNN. I believe it'd be fair to point this out. He says, lots to criticize CNN about, but Project Veritas has found basically nothing of interest. Low-level staffers making offhand comments is irrelevant. And if that's all he has from the 9 a.m. calls, it shows a very well-run network saying things privately it essentially says publicly. Let me stop here. I'll just read my own response. I said, the past few releases show that Zucker is playing telephone with himself. The media industry pushes conjecture as fact. Zucker sees it and demands it run on CNN. Then others see the nonsense and report it, etc., etc. He said, I just don't hear anything that isn't already out there from their own public comments or like their PR Twitter account. I've criticized CNN plenty. See my tweets yesterday, but this is nothing new. And Steve has. I believe that's fair to point out. He has criticized CNN in a very, you know, a bit tepid, but a funny way. He said, the eventizing of impeachment from a news network is ... something. I kid you not. CNN has turned impeachment into this big event. And he's right. But I will stress, My response to that statement is, when you're in the digital media industry, when you're in the news industry, when you're a journalist, you might know these things. You might say, oh, yeah, we all know that about CNN. But to hear the lack of morale, the loss of morale from their own staff, To hear Zucker refer to a factual news report from Politico as fake news conspiracy is shining a light, and it's providing hard proof. Listen, we don't get big public statements from Jeff Zucker for the most part. He's behind the scenes. We've now learned that he's personally intervened in interviews. He's stripped away the editorial independence of their staff. Whether they had it in the first place, I have no idea. But according to one of the staff members, they used to be independent, that the former presidents of CNN would leave them be. And it's supposed to be that news divisions don't take orders from the president. It's a big issue having to do with digital news right now. Journalists saying, we report what we want, and the administrative staff, the head staff, the C-suite guys, the president, they don't interfere in that. Not CNN. They get a top-down, direct from the president, you cover this because I said so. And we've seen from this, sure, I strongly disagree it's irrelevant. To see the staff members of CNN express their disdain for what's happening, to see them express we are overtly partisan and left-leaning, that is proof. Does it mean everyone at CNN agrees? Of course not. Of course they don't. But it shows that Jeff Zucker, the president, believes fake news. When CNN runs these stories, and we know he's pushing ridiculous nonsense, and he himself is driving it, it shows you what's wrong. It's rotten to the core from the top down. Maybe we'd say, listen, you've got staffers at CNN that are just, they're just wrong, okay? And they run these stories and they make mistakes. Journalists make mistakes. Ah, that's what we used to say. I used to say this all the time. Hey, maybe they're just making a bunch of mistakes all the time. Maybe their obsession with Trump is making them, you know. No, it's just Jeff Zucker. It's not the first time he's made a mistake, and it won't be the last. Take a look at this story from back in October of 2016. Before Trump got elected, CNN's president says it was a mistake to air so many Trump rallies and let them run. Jeff Zucker also refused to say whether Trump is fit to be president. October 14th, 2016. Jeff Zucker said he made a mistake. You did. Everybody knows it. And you're making the same mistake again. We have seen from the CNN town hall they recently did, as well as these debates, they have not learned anything from 2016, and they continue to make these mistakes. The ratings continue to dwindle, and employee morale is going down. And I'll admit, Veritas is only showing us a few employees. It may be that 99% are loving what's going on, and these are just the circumstances where people are upset. I don't believe it. The reason I don't, and I'm not saying you should trust my opinion, I'm just saying here's my opinion. We all kind of know what's going on at CNN. It's an open secret, right? I say open secret as in we haven't had any hard proof. We just look at what they do and say they clearly are doing something wrong. But now we have employees, 25-year veterans, on camera saying we're left-leaning, it's all Trump all the time, we're a shell of our former selves, the phone calls are all BS, and the words from the president himself saying that a factual news report from Politico about Ukraine and the DNC is fake news conspiracy. He doesn't even know what's going on in the world. So here's what happens. I'll rephrase my tweet. Zucker sees something in the press. He then gets on the phone call at 9 a.m. and said, we got to cover this. Remember when CNN would lead the cycle? Now they're reacting to an existing cycle, which means they're trapped in a whirlpool. He then reports Trump wanted a moat. All of a sudden, CNN leads the news. Trump wants a moat. Other digital reporters see this and then report on it, playing a game of telephone, which then Jeff Zucker sees and goes back to his staff and says, report this, I just heard it. They're living in a weird world. I've said it over and over again. They're spiraling, spinning around each other, sharing the same fake stories with each other. Politico reported, Ukraine tried to interfere to benefit Hillary Clinton. It's a fact. Politico reported it. We can call Politico wrong all day and night, fine, but I'm not going to call it conspiracy theory when it's been reported several times, led by Politico. People who don't like Trump then call it a conspiracy theory from Fox News. Why? Because they probably don't know how to use Google. Zucker sees that fake news and then believes that the story is actually fake. And he tells that to his staff, one of which has said, now on camera, it's BS. Yep. He was saying, not specifically this moment, he was saying it's all BS. And I don't blame him. I've heard the phone call now from Zucker himself. That's not a well-run news organization. That's someone straight up saying Trump wants a moat. Where did you base that off of? Someone's book? Is someone selling a book, dude? It's not fact. There's no evidence. There's no statement. There's no one on the record saying this. And that's what we've learned from Veritas. So don't let anyone tell you it's not true. CNN is in a downward spiral, a complete downward spiral. as evidenced by their declining ratings, the criticism across the board from literally everybody, and now leaked recordings of Zucker believing fake conspiracy news. I can show you the proof, and I have. Politico reported this. It's a fact, and Zucker doesn't know that. How is it that dude in his, you know, in his own living room with his with a camera talking on YouTube knows more about this than the president of the most trusted name in news? And there it is. I got to say, man, they will tell you that what Veritas is uncovering here with the help of this whistleblower is irrelevant. It's totally irrelevant what the employees think. Don't believe it. Respect to Steve. I think I respect his opinion. I just disagree. Don't believe it. When you hear the president of CNN himself espouse fake news, and when you see his own employees expressing their disdain, it shows you the cracks in the foundation. But more importantly, it shows you there are employees who know it's fake news and aren't speaking out about it. Fortunately, at least one person did, and I hope more come forward soon. I'll leave it there. Stick around. Next segment's coming up at youtube.com/TimCastNews, and I will see you all then. The complete and total hypocrites that are Extinction Rebellion started fights on the London commuter train. See, here's what happened. First, if you're not familiar, Extinction Rebellion is this climate change movement group. They're concerned the world is going to end unless we take action. And so they've staged these big high-profile protests. They've blocked streets in Washington, D.C. This morning, they decided to climb atop London commuter trains as everyone needed to go to work, shutting down service. As you can imagine, these people were outraged that they couldn't get to work. People started throwing food and drinks at them. One person yelled, "The world isn't ending, it's a hoax." And then someone climbed up, grabbed the guy, and you can see in this clip right here, this dude on top kicks the dude, and then the dude pulls him down and everyone cheers. Yeah, fights broke out, and apparently at more than one commuter station. Here's the thing, man. These activists are hypocrites. You know why? Public transportation is a solution to climate change. This is the big problem I have with these fake environmental activists. This is why I'm constantly, I'm pretty much not a fan of all of these different groups. You look at what AOC does with the Green New Deal. All of it is socialist identitarianism. And I'm like, why are you pretending to be an environmentalist? You look at what these people doing. They're not trying to make the world a better place. They're just agents of chaos who want to disrupt things because they want attention. Everybody look at me and look at my sign. I get it. But why are you going to the people who agree with you, or at the very least aren't contributing to the problem, and bothering them and fighting them physically? Here's the thing. If you really wanted to change, win over hearts and minds, and make the world a better place, you wouldn't go about ruining people's day and physically fighting them. Now, here's the thing. Extinction Rebellion did this big protest in Washington, D.C. several times, and I actually defended, to an extent, what they did. Now, some people started dumpster fires, literally. Nah, you can't do that. Not cool. But if you want to lock down an intersection, I'm actually totally cool with it. It's nonviolent civil disobedience. And there needs to be a way for us to push back on, authoritarian boundaries, on the authority, and say, this is not cool. So if you want to block roads to create a big press cycle so people understand what your group is doing, and then you get arrested for it and have to pay your fines and you go to jail and all that stuff, well, you pay your dues, okay? You cross the line, but not to the point where there's no turning back. It's hard to know, because when you start condoning this stuff, then everyone does it and then things fall apart. But the point is, I'm not going to sit here and rag on a bunch of protesters for peacefully but disruptively engaging in protest. This is different. Public transport is a solution to the problem. They have effectively decided, you know what? We didn't get enough attention by blocking roads. Let's go and disrupt the very thing we're trying to encourage people to do. And that says to me, they don't actually care about this. Imagine what would have happened if they stood outside that station, shaking hands, smiling, and saying, check it out. Thank you for using public transport. Here are the concerns we have. Thanks for listening to me for a few seconds. Spread the word. People would be like, that's really cool. And then they would tell their friends, I met a really cool guy who was like this environmental activist dude. He seemed really nice. Instead, not only are all of these commuters now more likely to reject what you're proposing, because they're going to say this: if you really cared about the environment, why would you disrupt public transport? But beyond that, you physically fought people. Like, dude, could you imagine what's going to happen now? This guy who got kicked, he's going to go to his friends and be like, these dudes are nuts. Dude kicked me. And now everyone's going to be like, man, those Extinction Rebellion people are insane. Jamming up public transport? So let's read a little bit of the story from NBC News. They say at least 4 climate change protesters were arrested after fights broke out at subway stations during Thursday morning's commute in London, as demonstrations by Extinction Rebellion group disrupted services and enraged travelers. I'd say commuters, man, they're going to work. British Transport Police said in a statement that the arrests were made after 3 stations were affected by simultaneous protests, resulting in delays for 2 underground lines. The protest was part of a series of demonstrations beginning last week by Extinction Rebellion, also known as XR, an environmental movement that aims to disrupt daily life in order to push the public and governments to take action on climate change. I don't think that's actually what they want to do. Because, again, public transportation is the solution, isn't it? Or at least one of the solutions. You know what I don't see them doing? I don't see them standing outside of these stations holding up a big sign saying China is violating international agreements. Because you know what China's doing? They're building coal power plants. I thought we were all agreeing we're gonna stop doing this. No, of course not. You have countries like China and India that are not playing ball the same way as everybody else, and they're pumping out a lot of carbon, and they're protesting the very people who agree with them. Because by and large, our governments in the UK, the US, and these Western nations, we all pretty much agree. We got to reduce our carbon footprint, and we've been doing a really great job of it. Hey, I can respect that. Are we perfect? Of course not. Nobody can be perfect, but we're working on it. Why are you protesting us? We agree for the most part, okay? And not only that, even the people who don't agree mostly don't care so long as the economy doesn't collapse because of your actions. I assure you, if you go to any one of these people who doesn't believe in climate change and said, we've figured out a way to reduce carbon emissions that's going to have no impact on the economy or bolster it, they'll be like, fine by me. I don't care. So when you have that woman, she yells, the world isn't ending. It's a hoax. Do you think she's going to care if we reduce carbon emissions so long as nothing else changes? No, why would she? What's the point? Who cares? But none of these people are protesting the countries that are actually making the problem worse. And on top of that, I love the complete and total hypocrisy we've seen from not just these activists, but others. LeBron James comes to mind, because not only did he issue a statement in defense of China, it was a tepid defense. He was like, you know, he was uneducated. You know, Daryl Morey was uneducated on his statement. He then comes out later after the backlash and says, I shouldn't have said anything, you know. Oh, you shouldn't have said anything. How many times has LeBron James been politically active talking about injustice and other nonsense? Several times. But now when it hurts his pocketbook, oh, here it is. Oh, we can't talk about China. These people are uneducated, or they're deliberately and maliciously trying to damage environmentalism. Look at what AOC does. The Green New Deal, we're going to help save the world. And then you read it and you're like, dude, this is a socialist screed. Nothing in here is going to do anything to better the environment. It was just her attempt at changing the economy. And that's what her former chief of staff, Saket Chakrabarty, said. It was about changing the economy, not environment. And they're manipulating those who care about the environment to get what they want. That to me is completely disgusting. Now, I don't know what these people want, because how can you simultaneously be like, everybody, you need to stop driving, but we're going to jam up your train, so you can't do that either. Okay, then everyone leaves and they go get a taxi cab, right? How much you want to bet? I guarantee that when this protest broke out, several people went outside and got in a cab. Congratulations. It's the opposite of what they claim to be fighting for. They say at Canning Town Station in East London, commuters threw drinks at one protester who was walking on top of a train before pulling him off and launching into a fight. Video shared on social media shows. One commuter shouted, I need to get to work. I have to feed my kids. When the protesters initially went up, Mahathir Pasha, a reporter for NBC News' British partner ITN, said in a tweet, transit police had warned the protest organizers ahead of Thursday's incidents not to impact the subway network upon learning a demonstration was planned. The number of officers on patrol were also increased in anticipation of any incidents. London's Metro Police also issued a citywide ban against the protesters on Monday, prohibiting them from assembling for the remainder of the week. Extinction Rebellion filed a legal application to have the ban reviewed and overturned by the courts, arguing it infringes upon people's freedom of speech and assembly. They have that in the UK? I didn't know you guys had freedom of speech and assembly. I was under the impression you can get arrested for making a joke in Scotland. Yes, about your dog, if you know what I'm talking about. Awaiting a court ruling, activists have continued to defy the ban by participating in demonstrations at Trafalgar Square in central London on Wednesday and the subway disruptions on Thursday. A total of 1,711 had been arrested since protests began on October 7th, Met Police said Wednesday. They say Extinction Rebellion launched in the UK with demands that governments tell the public the truth about climate change and make an emergency declaration to reduce carbon emissions to net zero by 2025, as well as set up a citizens' assembly. The movement has expanded globally, with protests across Europe, United States, and as far as India. Well, okay, there you go. Hey, I'll correct myself. When I said they weren't protesting India, well, apparently I was wrong. So there, I have no problem admitting that, and thank you. That's actually a good thing. I can respect that. Now, I look forward to your mass demonstration against China and the international pressure you will bring to China, who assuredly will laugh a lot and do nothing because there's nothing you can do to stop them. So congratulations. You will accomplish nothing. We already agree. OK, here in the United States and these other countries, we're doing it. What else do you want us to do? Net zero carbon emissions? Well, we're getting as close as we can. But here's the thing. You take a look at France, OK, and these mass protests that have been happening for quite some time. You know why the Yellow Vest protests kicked off? Because they were going to tax fuel for environmental reasons. And that drove the price up for the lower and the working class, who all of a sudden now were being faced with massive price increases. And it was extremely disruptive to the economy. And that won't solve the problem. Simply making gas more expensive, it's going to inflate everything else. And then once everything else inflates and people require more money from their job, they go about spending the same amount. They'll spend more on gas, but they'll buy the same amount. Okay? What really bothers me about so much of this activism is they don't actually think about the cause of their problem or the solutions. Put it this way. If somebody has to drive to work, raising the price of gas won't change that they have to drive to work. Now, will it? But there is a solution. Cheap, effective, affordable, and green public transportation. Make it easier. Incentivize people and give them alternatives. Whoa, what was that? Extinction Rebellion? What was that you said? You're gonna protest on the trains? So you're doing the exact opposite. You're encouraging people to get their own vehicles. Well, there you go. You know, when we look at what happened in France and we look at not just these protests, but many others, it's hard to know exactly where the problem begins, and it's hard to know the exact solution. But I can assure you, almost always, you know, whenever I see these protests, they don't really understand the problems. You can't just snap your fingers and say zero carbon emissions. Take a look at what happens when the power goes out. People die. In California, they cut the power off because they wanted to prevent wildfire, and a dude, his oxygen machine stopped working, he died. When the power goes out, diabetics, they need to have insulin refrigerated. They will die. So it's easy to say, we're going to do net carbon. Okay, stop. You can't. Because you're risking people's lives. People depend on access to this. Now, it's a troubling spot that if we keep carrying on this way, look, infinite growth is not possible in the physical world. I've talked about this before when Greta Thunberg said, you have fantasies about infinite economic growth. It's like, well, stop. In the digital world, we can continue to grow things, you know, with cryptocurrency especially. There are considerations for how much, you know, carbon emissions are made due to the power consumption of crypto. But take a look at the digital economy. We have economies based on products that don't physically exist in reality and don't produce carbon emissions. You play online video games, you can sell services. Yeah, it's possible to create virtual, you know, economic expansion. I'm not going to act like it's infinite because we still have to figure out how to run the computers, which, you know, can generate, which requires electricity. It's a complicated problem. But in the end, the point I'm trying to make is this should be the greatest example that you should view these activists with skepticism. Do not overly, like, you know what, man, there are too many people who just blindly trust all of this. Let's read a little bit more. They say in London, where some of the biggest demonstrations have occurred, both officials and commuters were quick to point out that the activists were blocking an environmentally friendly form of transportation. Hey, there it is. The tube and rail networks are one of the greenest transport methods in London. Any action goes against what they campaign for and will only cause misery for London's commuters. Yeah, and you're going to convince people not to take the trains. These people are the worst kind of evil. It is the ignorant, the blind actions which disrupt and destroy and cause serious harm. And they don't care. You know how I know they don't care? Because when the dude tried pulling him off, he kicks him. He doesn't care about you. He was willing to physically hurt you. You know what a real activist would do? Someone who actually knew that being disruptive results in arrest, they would calmly be removed and put their hands up and say, I got your attention, I'm done here. No, that guy kicked the guy. He He didn't care about the people. He didn't care about those whose lives he was affecting to the point where he decided to physically harm one of them and fight with them. That says to me, this guy just wants power. He doesn't care about how he gets it. He will physically hurt you. And this is true for so many people. It's true for Antifa. This is what they'll do. They don't care about the cause. They care about having power over you. And that means they will damage and disrupt the environmental movement, and they will physically harm you if you get in their way. They say at Shadwell Station, where activists glued themselves to a train. Video shared on Twitter shows angry travelers yelling at two protesters, calling them hypocrites. You're stopping an electric train. Are you guys really that effing stupid? One man said, with another person pointing out the light rail service helps the environment. Extinction Rebellion defended their actions of its members in a statement, saying they were nonviolent and the disruption was proportionate to the ecological emergency facing the planet. We will all encounter far greater disruption in the future if we don't radically change our society. I would imagine electric trains are part of that transformation, right? Okay, great. Congratulations. You have made people hate you. You have physically hurt them and fought with them. Now they really, really don't like you. And the battle scars these people have, I get it, I'm a little hyperbolic, the bruises they have will be a constant reminder, until they're gone, that of everything you did. And when they show up late to work, their boss is going to shake his head, and they're going to be like, I'm sorry, man, you know, the guy that glued themselves to the train. I got an Uber as fast as I could, and I got here when I could. And they're going to be like, I get it. Now that ripple effect is going to go out. Let me tell you a quick story I've told several times, okay? I'll make it quick. I was in a cab, in Manhattan, going to Brooklyn. Cab drivers hate driving to Brooklyn, so this cab driver was furious. They're not allowed to kick you out of the cab once you get in. So I get in, he says, where to? I give him the address, and he got really angry. The whole ride was miserable. He was grumbling. He was driving like a jerk. And when I got out in Brooklyn, I gave him a 100% tip. I gave him $25 on top of the $25 I owed him. And he was shocked, because he was mean the whole time. And I said, hey, man, I really appreciate that you drove me to Brooklyn, and I hope this can, you know, this extra money will get you back, and you won't lose time. And I was like, I just have a good day, man. And he was like, he was very grateful, and he said, thank you. Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, blessings to your family. And the point is, I want that to ripple out positivity. Now that guy is going to drive back like, wow. You know, the reason I don't like driving to Brooklyn, they're not allowed to pick up people in Brooklyn. That means he's got to drive back. It's going to take forever. He's got to go across the bridge. He's got to, you know, tolls or I don't think there's any tolls or anything like that. But it just depending on if he takes the tunnel or something. But it just means that now his time is being wasted and he's not going to be able to make money. But by me giving him that tip, he got a free ride. He's basically like, whoa, this pays for me to get back to Manhattan and keep working. So the next person who gets in his car, he's going to be feeling good. Like, hey, man, this is great. And then that person in that car is going to be like, oh, this driver is really nice. I want to make sure it ripples out positivity. What they did with this action was targeted people who are already taking environmentally friendly transport, but the negativity will now sweep from all of these people to all of the companies to all of that. It is a wave of negativity, and everyone is going to be affected. But guess what? At the third and fourth degree, no one's going to know it was them who caused it. When that guy gets to work and his boss is frustrated, like, my staff wasn't here, we're rushing because, you know, we got a huge line out the door. And they're, look, man, I'm sorry, it's the protesters. That boss is going to be like, I know, I saw in the news. But now those customers aren't getting their coffee and they're not getting their sandwiches. And they're like, why is this taking so long? A wave of negativity then sweeps across everybody. Now, I understand when it comes to the protests in D.C., the same is true for that. But there's a difference. The difference is hypocritical action versus trying to push that line to make a point. And what they did here was actually target something that benefits their own cause, proving they don't care about the cause. They care about spreading negativity. They care about making people's day miserable. And the proof is in the pudding, that when you say, okay, we got the message, he kicks you. He kicks you. I kid you not. You can see it. He kicks the dude. Okay, you know what? Enough. I'll leave it there. Stick around. Next segment's coming up at 1 p.m. on this channel. I will see you all next time. And now on to more tragic news. At a Kansas grade school, a 13-year-old female pointed her finger in the shape of a gun at four other students before tragically pointing her finger at herself. A school resource officer was able to apprehend the girl before things could get out of hand, where she was subsequently charged with a felony. The situation began when a friend of hers asked her if she could kill some students, who would she kill? To which she responded by pointing her finger dangerously at other students. Police said this was a threat of violence. Now, doesn't that sound insane? Doesn't it sound ridiculous when you hear it reported as if it was an actual story? I kid you not. This really happened. Kansas, 13-year-old girl who pointed finger gun. Seriously? Did you guys ever see that story about the kid who ate a Pop-Tart, but he bit it into the shape of a gun and then started pew-pewing at people? Like, welcome to the nightmare dystopia. Congratulations, you sick monsters. You have created this world where children are being arrested for making jokes. I hope this is what you all wanted, because now it's what you're going to get. She was charged with a felony. Seriously, a felony for sitting in the classroom and pointing a finger at people and going pew-pew or something like that. And then she did point her finger at herself. I kid you not. She was arrested. Wow. Let's read the story. And I want, if we have time, I do want to go back and talk about another story that was recently as an example of how just truly insane this world has become. NBC reports, a Kansas middle school girl who formed her fingers into a gun and pointed it at several of her classmates after another student asked her who she would kill was arrested and charged with a felony. Now, I can't imagine that that would have some kind of long-lasting traumatic effect on a child, would you? The incident happened on September 18th at Westridge Middle School in Overland Park, about 13 miles south of Kansas City, after administrators were alerted to a potential threat made by a 13-year-old student, police said in a news release. According to the Kansas City Star, the girl was having a discussion with a classmate who asked if she could kill five people in the room, who would they be? The girl responded by allegedly making a finger gun and pointing it at four students and then pointing it at herself, the outlet reported. An Overland Park police spokesperson told NBC News in a statement Friday that an individual who felt threatened used the school's online anti-bullying app to alert administrators, who conducted an investigation and then told the school resource officer. Someone felt threatened by that. Man, I tell you what, when I was a kid, people actually got into fights. I actually got in a couple fights. You feel threatened because someone pointed their finger at you. Come on, let's stop right now. Seriously? They felt threatened because a girl pointed her finger at them. It might not even been them. Who knows who did it? That's insane. Man, but you know what? These kinds of stories, it's only going to get worse. Because I got another older story I'll show you in a second. They say that the resource officer who was employed by the city's police department interviewed both students involved, who affirmed the actions which constituted the potential threat, police said. The girl, whose identity is not being released because she is a juvenile, was then arrested. Are you kidding me? Man, remember back in the day when students would actually bring guns with them to school? Too often, there are reports of violence in schools and inevitably questions about what could or should have been done to prevent the tragedy. Threats in schools are taken very seriously and treated appropriately, police said in a release. I would not blame you if you wanted to homeschool your kids. I was actually homeschooled quite a bit. I did go to public school for most of the time. But man, I'll tell you what, if kids can't even point anymore, I can't imagine anybody wanting to have their kids in one of these schools. This is just completely insane. A spokesperson for the Johnson County District Attorney's Office said after reviewing the evidence, the girl was charged with criminal threat, which is a felony offense. She is due to appear in court next week. Have you people lost your minds? You in the Johnson County District Attorney's Office are sick. You are sick. This is disgusting. It's a 13-year-old girl. You give them a slap on the wrist. You say, seriously, calm down. Even if it should be addressed at all. You know what? You know how you address this? Hey, don't talk about killing kids in class. Anyway, kids, moving on. That's it. That's it. But you know what? Everyone's so terrified of their own shadows. This is what you get. You want to talk about what you could have done to stop this? I assure you, giving a 13-year-old girl a felony charge is not the way you do it. Now, hold on. It may be that by the time she goes to court, the judge, shocked, dismisses that and maybe reprimands the officer and the DA and says, what is this? Or maybe he says something like, we're going to dismiss the charges, but let this be a lesson. Be very careful about what you say. People are very nervous these days. Even that, in my opinion, is a bit too far, but would be at least somewhat acceptable, right? If they charged her with a very minor crime, like, how do you even charge somebody with this? This is nuts. Pointing your finger at somebody. Well, welcome to the world you helped create. Not us. Not the young people, okay? But the older generation. You know what? No. I'm sorry. Yes, the millennials. Absolutely the millennials. Let's move on. Sorry, millennials. I'm one of you, too. And I think millennials are messed up. John Kavanaugh, the girl's grandfather, told the Kansas City Star that he thinks the incident got completely out of hand and should have been handled in the principal's office and not with a teenager being charged with a felony. I have to agree. Poor grandpa. Kavanaugh said the 13-year-old does not have access to a gun, and I would be really confused if she did. She was just mouthing off, he said. I'm really worried about my granddaughter's future. A spokesperson for the Shawnee Mission School District told NBC News that he could not discuss the incident, but that the district was not involved in the girls being arrested. Oh, so the school is not involved. We didn't have any control over that action, David Smith said, declining to say if the school disciplined the student who began the discussion by asking the girl who she would kill. You know, there's a game kids used to play called, what is it called? Mary Bang Kill or something like that. Is that what it's called? Where it's like you got to pick three people. Who would you marry? Who would you do? And who would you kill or whatever? Kids used to play these games all the time. I mean, like, think about like a Ouija board, for instance. You're literally talking about death and dead people. There are so many instances where kids will make off the cuff comments or jokes. So Crowder actually did something interesting, because there was a bit that I like sussed out with my friends a while ago that we wanted to film. We never did. And the idea is you see a van and there's two like FBI agents in the van, like with a headphone, listening to a conversation where these three guys are plotting some kind of attack. And they're saying horrible things about showing up to the Brooklyn Bridge and all that stuff. And then the FBI starts getting panicked to talk about weapons, what they're going to bring. And then they talk about stealing cars. And then the FBI, they're freaking out like, this is it. This is it. And so they kick the door in with guns drawn. And it's three like overweight dudes with pizza and Mountain Dew. And they're playing Grand Theft Auto together. That's the joke. Context matters. The joke is this is not a threat. It's a kid making a joke. It's kids playing silly kid games. And I understand if you want to say the kids shouldn't be talking about this because of how sensitive everything's become, like I mentioned, like fine. But charging with a felony is a step up into the insanity. But I got a couple other things I want to point out. In this story, we can talk now about how we get into the sheer absurdity and oversensitivity that, you know what, man, I think we're doomed. I really do. Elderly crossing guard and Korean War veteran has gun seized after school shooting comment. What did he say? He said something about how our guard shouldn't leave their patrol because that could, you know, open the door for a shooter. He was specifically warning. I kid you not. This is where we're at. A crossing guard, a Korean War vet, 84 years old, I believe, 84 years old, had the police show up unannounced, seizing his property because he was talking to a friend at a restaurant and was concerned that when their guard, the guard at the school, would like go on a smoke break or like go on a break, it could leave the door open for a potential shooting. He never said anything about him doing it. He was saying, man, somebody could go do that. We need to make sure our guard's on duty. Oh, no, you can't talk about that either. We are entering snowflake world, complete snowflake world, where everybody is freaking out. And I love how they're like, there's this comment from this news article where this older woman tells her son, who's the bigger snowflake? Somebody who wants people to treat each other with respect or someone who's concerned about people not saying Merry Christmas anymore? It's like, wait, hold on. You having an opinion about whether or not we should say Happy Holidays and Merry Christmas is, I would say, sensitive to an extent. But having the police show up to seize property or arrest a 13-year-old girl is what I would call snowflake, for sure. You can criticize someone and be like, dude, chill. No, you know, who cares about what you call a thing? Call it whatever you want. There's a big difference between being upset over something and literally sending police to an elderly man's home because he was warning about something, or charging a 13-year-old girl with a felony. But you know what? I got one more for you. Because when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of this other story from 1 month ago. 1 month ago, 6-year-old arrested, handcuffed for elementary school tantrum. Welcome to the nightmare dystopia. It's all of the dystopias brought together into one fine little melting pot. You get a little bit of 1984, a little bit of Brave New World, some Fahrenheit 451, and drop in a little bit of, I don't know, say, Animal Farm. Did I say that one already? Look, well, Animal Farm isn't necessarily dystopian, but you get the point. This is where we're at. We not only have the digital panopticon, the social media surveillance and spying and censorship. We have government seems to be on the verge of collapse. I don't even know what's going on now. You got impeachment hearings in secret. You've got, you know, accusation, impeachment against the president. Republicans can't access information. Everything seems to be falling apart. But I'll tell you what. Think back to V for Vendetta. You ever see that movie? You want to know where it all comes down? You can have an oppressive government. In that movie, they do. And most people just keep on keeping on because you know what? I keep my head low, I'll be all right. But everything changes because a little girl is skipping down the street wearing a Guy Fawkes mask, and one of the cops takes a violent action against her. And the townspeople, they react. And they react in a way that shatters the confidence they had in that government. I'll tell you this. You want to talk about what precipitates downfall and collapse? It's not going to be Nancy Pelosi and Trump arguing and doing that meme photo in you know, that office room. It's going to be a 13-year-old getting charged with a felony and locked up, and people losing faith in the system. It's going to be 6-year-olds getting handcuffed and arrested, and people finally saying things have gotten out of hand and this needs to stop. I'll leave it there. Next segment's coming up at 4 p.m. on the main channel, youtube.com/Timcast, and I will see you all there. This is why we can't have nice things. Because people share memes as though it's news. And guess what? It's more likely to affect the left. Surprised? It is. And I've shown the data several times. The top shared outlet or engaged with outlet, according to a 2018 Newswhip report, was Occupy Democrats. The top conservative engaged with platform was Fox News. There you go. Fox News is biased, but they're not fake memes like this trash. This is some of the most frustrating and annoying thing, one of the most annoying things ever, when people are sharing this and acting like it's in any way possibly true. And when you say, oh, by the way, it's fake, they get all angry. How dare you? If I want to believe this woman is actually as orange as she is, I'm allowed to. Not only, we got a twofer here. Not only is this meme about this woman completely fake, I don't even call it a meme, whatever you want to call it, it's just fake news that's circulating on Facebook because a bunch of boomers don't know the difference between fact and fiction, and they think someone randomly posting a random tweet from a random guy is somehow news. Not only did they conflate two different circumstances into one moment, it's just fake, let's put it, it's just fake. They claim, let me read this for you, okay? This is the meme that's going around. Truth or fiction is fact-checking here. They say, so if you didn't catch the presser with Trump and Italian President Sergio Mattarella, this is what you missed. Trump claimed the U.S. has been allies with Italy since ancient Rome. False. He called President Mattarella President Mozzarella several times. False. He bashed NATO while praising Putin. We'll get to that. He said A.G. Barr met with Italian intelligence to investigate crimes he is certain to lead to President Obama. That one might be true. He was noticeably slurring his words again. Fake news. Is it any wonder the Italian translator was looking at Trump like this? Let me stop you right there. See, in this image of the Italian translator, she's sitting behind Trump, but in the actual press conference, there's nobody standing behind Trump. In fact, he never said mozzarella, and he never said we were allies with ancient Rome. Not only that, check this out. Historians and journalists defend Donald Trump after president is mocked on ancient Rome comments. You know what Trump really said? He said that we share a cultural and political heritage going all the way back to ancient Rome. Why? He would be correct. It's so absurd that that statement, which means very little, there's a lot of constitutional republics. That's what he was talking about. That, for some reason, people pluck that one passive statement where he... And now I'll tell you what, man, this is the problem in this country, because these boomer memes then make their way to the press and to, you know, people believe it. And the next thing you'll know, someone on CNN will be like, I mean, President Trump called the Italian president a mozzarella because of a meme. Bravo, everybody. The claim, U.S. President Trump called Sergio Mattarella mozzarella, then lauded the American alliance dating back to ancient Rome. Hey, that's not true. The United States President Donald Trump hosted Italian President Sergio Mattarella at the White House on October 16th, 2019, leading to viral claims. Trump misstated Mattarella's name as mozzarella before embarrassingly describing a friendship between the United States and Italy dating back to ancient Rome. No, the claim was actually that we were allies. He never said that. I tell you what, man, this is so much of what I deal with every single day. Fake news that I gotta dig through all of these stories. This is what I do for a living, okay? You wanna know it? When I make a video, you might be thinking like, oh, what's he doing? He's just reading some article. He's got like five articles pulled up. Right, so here's what I do. A new story breaks. I read it. I then go and read like four different versions of it and trace it all the way back to the furthest possible point I can to find the source of the information. Often, there is no source and I have to accept whatever that source may be, like the New York Times, where they say, an anonymous individual claimed X. Typically, when that happens, I will straight up say, they haven't provided us with any proof other than to claim we should trust them. This is a perfect example of the nightmare that is today's news world. Jeff Zucker, okay, following up on my main channel segment, says the most ridiculous boomer trash. I hate to be mocking on boomers. You know what? I really hate doing this, but I'm pointing out you have a particular group of people, and it's not you guys because you're watching this, which I get. And I will state I make fun of millennials too. Okay, so boomers, don't get all mad at me. But there are people like Zucker who just believe these trash memes. Okay, and I'll state all generations we have our problems. He believes these trash memes. Then he gets on the phone call at 9 a.m. and he's all frantic, like, Trump called in mozzarella. We got a report on this. And then you'll hear somebody be like, actually, Jeff, I think, no. I don't want to drop this story. We got to focus on it. Okay, dude. And the funny thing is, they then claim it's the Trump supporters doing this, which is hilarious. Are there Trump supporters who believe fake news? Well, of course there are, right? There are people of all ages and generations believe fake news. It's not unique to only one group of people. But I'll tell you this. If I had to make a bet, this camera right in front of me, and I had to put on a betting line, who do you think is more likely to get a story wrong? I'd be like, the left. Absolutely. Here's the thing, though. What happens is when CNN publishes fake news and the left just believes it and the right challenges it, when they do these reports, like when they do these analyses, they look to CNN to determine if it's real or not. And therein lies the big problem. They don't know what the Gell-Mann amnesia effect is. The standard for whether or not something is true is media organizations with no standards. Isn't that hilarious? Take a look at Wikipedia. For years, my Wikipedia page claimed that I invented a Zeppelin. Yep. It did. I don't know why. It said Tim Pool invented a Zeppelin. What? Why would... Okay, so I'll be honest. I did work with drones. But never did I invent a Zeppelin. Like, it's just such a ridiculous, nonsensical thing. And so what happens is somebody wrote an article and for some reason they thought I built a Zeppelin, and then someone else sees it and rewrites the story, and then someone uses that story and puts it in Wikipedia. And no matter how many times I keep saying, please, I never invented a Zeppelin, get rid of that. They're like, you're not a reliable source. We're going to go with Huffington Post on this one. And there you go. And this is how the news media is functioning today. And I got to admit, it's scary because people use Wikipedia as like a track record, right? So now you have a decaying news media that believes ridiculous, nonsensical, fake news. And I want to point this out too. See how the woman on this side is orange? It's because, I don't know what channel it was, but whoever made the meme saturated the colors to make Trump look very bright and orange. But you can tell because she's orange too. And this is common. They've done it to Bernie Sanders too, but think about what happens. Think about what happens when Jeff Zucker gets on the phone and says, Trump wanted a moat. And then CNN reports it. Trump wanted a moat. And then some person takes the article and puts it on Wikipedia. Trump wanted a moat. And even though Trump said that's not true, don't matter. Let's play a game. It's called, in 2015, a video goes viral that says Hillary Clinton is sick. Do you know why people thought she was sick? Because she kept collapsing. And there's a video of her coughing up something into a glass. And people said, man, she looks sick. And so the Clinton campaign issues a public statement. She's not sick. And then you get all the media going, she's not sick. She said so. Why would you believe her? Let's play another game. The media all starts going around. The media going around saying, Trump wants a moat. What's your source? A book. What's the source? Unnamed aides. People working in the White House. We don't know who they are. Okay. Trump denies that. No, Trump's lying. You see how the game is played? The problems we're facing is that those of us who care about the truth are in the minority. It's a fact. The people who blindly believe this stuff, and then when you correct them, like, hey, this is not true. Here's the source. They get all angry. How dare you challenge my worldview? And so then you end up with where we're at with the impeachment stuff, right? Donald Trump. They're claiming that you know Ukraine trying to meddle in our elections is fake news conspiracy, and that was Jeff Zucker again. Yeah, thank you Veritas for unveiling this. Okay, that's what Veritas means. It means truth. I think. Anyway, Jeff Zucker, man, how nightmarish is it that we get this level of complete nonsense from Zucker? He's literally taking fake news from like memes and from like digital left-wing blogs and then telling his staff to report it. You know, they CNN can't go down fast enough, and they all deserve it. If you, you know, look at this. Popat tweeted, "I'm sorry, did the president of the United States call the president of Italy President Mozzarella several times? I'm just asking a question, because the answer is no." Viral rumors that Trump called the Italian president Mozzarella were popular in their own right. Oh, I'll tell you a funny story about Popat. I've never had a negative interaction with Popat, but Popat once posted some fake news or something, and I politely responded with, "Oh, that's not true because of X," and they blocked me. Isn't that funny? Because these people are, you know, they're the real grifters. I hate using that word, but they're the real people who are just trying to generate a following. They don't care about what's true. They just want to gloat. They want attention. They want shares. And then, of course, because it's what they do, they project. They turn around and say, "Tim wants shares. That's why he's doing this." Oh, shut up, dude. I'd be playing Minecraft in 2 seconds if I wanted shares, not talking about your insanity. So there's the point. We'll consider it an addendum to my main channel video, because these ridiculous, nonsensical posts where they make fake claims, I guarantee you, don't be surprised if this makes its way to some CNN broadcast where they're like, "And so there's going to be a commentator going, and President Trump said that we were allies since ancient Rome." And then someone else will just blindly agree, like, "That's crazy." Welcome to politics today. Nothing is true. Nobody cares. Nobody wants to fact check. Journalism is, it's gone. Well, at least you can stick around for a couple more segments in a few minutes, and I will see you all shortly. At least a couple sane Democrats are desperately trying to make sure our country doesn't collapse entirely. So when Rashida Tlaib came out on more than one occasion saying, "We're preparing to arrest White House officials who defy our subpoenas," we get, I believe, who do we have here? This is Steny Hoyer saying, no, stop, calm down. Nobody's arresting anybody, please, enough. Top Democrat rebuffs Rashida Tlaib's claim that Democrats may arrest Trump officials, saying, "No, please, that's not going to happen." This is, you know what, man? You know what you get when you elect far-left activists who care not for this country and are seeking some kind of foreign policy change by manipulating the U.S. government? You get crazy people who are like, "Arrest them!" Ah! And then the actual politicians who are trying to lead this country are like, "Stop, please. You're making it worse." But Rashida Tlaib doesn't care. You think she cares about this country? I certainly do not. And I really do mean that. I do not think she cares. I think she cares more about foreign policy. The extent to which she cares about this country is to stop it from doing things that impact the countries she actually cares about. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer clarified on Wednesday that Democrats are not planning on arresting the members of President Donald Trump's administration who do not comply with congressional subpoenas, disproving a claim that freshman Rep. Rashida Tlaib had been telling her constituents. No. If Rashida Tlaib is talking to her own staff and people and friends, and they are doing it, Steny Hoyer, how would you know? Okay? Here's the thing. If Rashida Tlaib cared about this country, if these other politicians, you know, just a blanket statement, cared about this country, they'd be talking about how impeachment is going to destroy it and tear it apart. Impeachment is not going to remove Trump. He's not going to be convicted. I mean, sure, fine, roll the dice on it, but it's not going to happen. And if it does, it will create a divide so severe it may never recover. Not only that, impeachment, as aptly put by Andrew Yang, will not solve any of the problems that brought us to Trump in the first place. Trump was elected for a reason by people who like him. Okay? Removing him will not change that. It will anger people. And so mistrust, divisiveness, and yes, dare I say it, potential conflict in the streets. Impeachment is a stupid and silly idea, and threatening to arrest people who don't comply with your subpoenas when you're also not even voting on impeachment is insane. Yes, they don't care about this country. They care about their own individual power. Quote, "We've made a judgment that we want the American people to understand that we are pursuing not arbitrary action, but considered and thoughtful action," Hoyer told reporters, according to the Washington Examiner. And while he noted that imprisoning members of the White House sounds appealing, it is not an action that House Democrats will ultimately carry out. It doesn't mean that Rashida Tlaib and the squad have never talked about it. "I don't mean to say that inherent contempt is by definition arbitrary, but it may be perceived as arbitrary," he continued, referring to the oldest of three strategies that Congress can use to enforce subpoenas. Tlaib has boasted about the possibility that her caucus will jail the president's allies in an escalating effort to force White House officials to comply. The move, referred to as inherent contempt, is a power that the legislator has not used since 1935. Let me tell you, this is pretty, and this is the last caucus conversation we had. Do you know this is really unprecedented? This is the worst time we've ever had a situation like this, Tlaib said during a town hall early in October. So they're trying to figure out, no joke, they're trying to figure out, well, is it the DC police that goes in and get them? No, no. Who's they? Who's they? Who's they trying to figure out anything? What are we hoping? I mean, I'm not in those kind of conversations, but I'm asking, like, you know what happens? And they're like, well, Rashida, we're trying to figure it out ourselves because this is uncharted territory. No, I'm telling you that they're trying to be like, well, where are we going to put them? Where are we going to hold them? No, I mean, those are the kind of things they're trying to tread carefully. I don't believe Steny Hoyer. I got to be honest. I think he's playing damage control because he realized her saying this is going to shock and terrify Americans. Accordingly, the House of Representatives voted 23-198 in July to hold Attorney General William Barr and Secretary of Commerce Wilbur Ross in contempt of Congress for defying congressional subpoenas. While it was only the second time in history that a sitting cabinet member was held in criminal contempt, it was not, as Tlaib has asserted, unprecedented. Former President Barack Obama's Attorney General Eric Holder was held in contempt after he refused to turn over documents related to the Operation Fast and Furious gun running scandal. Let me tell you, Mr. Giuliani will be held accountable to Congress, as we will hold every other individual, Hoyer added, referring to Trump's personal attorney. We know who he is. Trump responded to Tlaib's repeated suggestion to jail his allies by referring to the Michigan congresswoman as a despicable human being. Tlaib, however, is most well known for her vulgar demands to impeach the president. Only hours after Tlaib was sworn into Congress in January 2018, she was recorded vowing to go after Trump, referring to the president. The freshman Democrat shouted to a crowd of her supporters that she is going to go in and impeach the mother effer. And there it is. Another reason why impeachment is psychotic and should not be happening. Because it was on the agenda before anything ever happened. They have a conclusion and they're searching for an answer. That's the game they're playing. Well, you know what? I'm not surprised Rashida Tlaib is off the rails. I mean, the far left voted for her and they're mostly nuts. But I will say this to the moderates who voted in moderate Democrats. I don't blame you. I really, really don't. Because I feel the same way. But at this point, you have to wonder, it's not about what that individual can promise. It's about what they're going to do. And I'll tell you this. When you vote for a moderate Democrat, they're gonna promise you the right things. The things that I would probably agree with. And the things I admittedly would probably vote for. The problem is when they then fall in line with the rest of the Democrats and give them this absurd power to do absurd things. And this is where things get dangerous. So for me, I'm out. I'm not going to vote for any of them. I will vote for Tulsi Gabbard or Andrew Yang because they've explicitly condemned I should stop there. That's a bit strong because no, they are still on the side of impeachment, which is dangerous, but at least they're saying something. So I'll admit it is an ethical and moral conundrum. Do I want someone like, you know, a Yang or a Tulsi? I do. My fear is who will I be handing power to, them or the far left lunatics who are talking about arresting people in the White House? The far left lunatics who have been screaming for impeachment before anything had even happened. The far left lunatics who for 3 years pushed this nonsensical Russiagate crap down our throats. I'm sick of it, man. But you know what? I'm going to throw in a little bit more on top. This wasn't necessarily big enough for me, you know, to do something. You know, maybe this will be part of a bigger story moving forward. But first of all, we got a couple things I got to address. Schiff pressed Volcker to say Ukraine felt pressure from Trump. Yeah, okay. Not only are the Democrats, you know, walking back and forth over whether or not they're going to be arresting Trump aides, but apparently, according to the partial testimony, Volcker, who is the former ambassador to Ukraine, or is the current, whatever, former ambassador, special representative to Ukraine. That's the official position. Tried to pressure him into saying that Trump was pressuring Ukraine. And here's the thing: Republicans aren't being allowed in these meetings. And the Democrats are refusing to hold a vote. So you know what, man? They screech all day and night about how Trump is violating the Constitution. And I'm like, I'm listening. Tell me what's going on. And then I hear this and I'm like, oh, you know what, dude? You're all nuts, okay? All of you. Every single one. I'm talking about the politicians, please, okay? They just play whatever, you know, you can go back in time and see Jerry Nadler saying the opposite of what he says today, and you can see Mitch McConnell saying the opposite of what he says today. I don't care for these people. I don't care for any one of them. But you know what my problem is? Because of the past 8 years, I was sitting here being like, man, that stuff Obama was doing was really bad, and the media was like, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. You don't talk about Obama like that. And I'm like, chill, chill. So I made YouTube videos talking about it. Nobody cared. Now you get Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is doing, like, silly clown-like things, okay? Like, the worst thing he's doing, he sends this letter to Erdogan, which is like, don't be a fool. You know, I don't, you know, I'll hurt your economy. I'll call you later. And it was like, people saw that letter and facepalmed. What else did he do? He's going to be hosting the G7 at Trump Doral. And I roll my eyes at that. Oh, you know, here comes Trump. He's picking his own golf resort to host the G7. How can you, you know, talk bad about Biden and act like he's using his name and using his position to benefit his family and then go and do that? I get the argument. The argument is that he can give a discounted rate. He could save money for the government. I don't care, man. He's getting that brand power. He's getting that booking power, and he shouldn't have done it. But I'll tell you this. Is that it? Okay, I can criticize Trump's foreign policy, but it's not as bad as Obama's foreign policy. So Trump is booking a G7 at his golf resort, and I'm like, oh, come on, dude, what are you doing? Is it as bad as the extrajudicial assassinations of Barack Obama? This is the problem I have. I don't like Trump. I do not like Obama. I admit Obama is way better than any of the Democrats we have now, but it's all the same. The establishment wants the war. They're screeching that Donald Trump is trying to pull troops out of Syria. They never voted for him to be there in the first place. You know what? I can't make this another political endless rant, but I'll just tell you this. You guys know I'm not a big fan of Trump, but I'll tell you what. I'm looking at it and I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of things about him culturally that are the worst I've ever seen. Policy-wise, he's actually slightly better than Obama on a lot of areas, particularly foreign policy. He canceled the strike on Iran. I know he called it in the first place, but pencils have erasers. Stop. Don't do that. He's now going to send troops into Saudi Arabia. Really, really don't like it. Yeah, well, Obama bolstered our troops in the Middle East and got us involved in this Syria mess. So I'm not going to blame Trump for that. It was Obama's foreign policy and this ridiculous game. The problem is, what's frustrating to me is the media's duplicitousness. That's the word. Deceitfulness. There were clearly people praising Obama. There are clearly people who just want to get Trump. And it is a pointless waste of time. And so this is what you end up with. You end up with a media that pumps up the insanity, which gets people like Rashida Tlaib elected. And all she cares about is herself. That's my opinion. Okay, you don't agree with that opinion? Fine, you don't have to. I got one more segment coming up in a few minutes, and I will see you all shortly. Yesterday, we saw a massive Verizon outage across the U.S. as data, texting, and calls fail. And no word about when the issue will be resolved. And you might be thinking, yeah, so what, Tim? So is a bunch of Verizon stopped working. I mean, this could be something simple, like there was a bottleneck, you know, some you know, single point of failure that caused a cascade effect. And now everybody's, yeah, okay. You know what? Maybe it's not news at all that cell phones were down. And then, wait a minute, what's this? Have you tried turning it off and on again? Today, Three Mobile Network should be sorted by the end of the day as company suggests customers reset their phones. Thousands of people have reported issues using the network overnight. Down Detector website and major cities are the source of most of the reports. Three has tweeted admitting it's working to solve technical difficulties. Okay. Here's where it's confusing. Three is the name of a company. That's why it's singular. Because that caught me for a second. I was like, wait, Three Mobile Network? Three Mobile Network. It is the name of the company. So now let's get back to where the point is. Normally, I wouldn't care about something like this. And I can't tell you what happened. But take a look at these images. Very strange that around the same time, so this was reported overnight, and this was reported yesterday. Do you know what the difference between overnight and yesterday is? When you're talking about the UK, it's a five-hour difference, meaning something happened very, very close in time frame that took out U.S. Verizon's cell infrastructure, as well as Three in the UK. Does this mean we're under cyber attack? No. But I will say it's rather interesting. So I wonder, let's start with a simple solution. Maybe there's a shared line. No, that's not true. I don't think that's true. But maybe there's some kind of shared infrastructure. Maybe. Okay, let's start with that. Maybe 3 and Verizon share some kind of infrastructure or some third-party service that when it went down, it negatively impacted both of these networks in both these countries. Let's have more fun, though. What's the most fun thing we can think of? Cyber attack. That's right, the United States is facing a massive cyber attack, likely from China. I have no reason to back that up. I just think it's fun to entertain. So now let's be real. I don't know why any of these networks went down. But I will say, whenever we see something like this, people start getting suspicious and wondering if it was some kind of cyber attack. Let me tell you something. You may be asking, why would they attack our phones and it's only one phone network? You know, often we see down detector show us that there's internet outages. And many people, I always get asked this, well, who cares? How does slowing our internet hurt us in any way? It doesn't. We still have our soldiers, our borders, everything's fine. No. You're wrong. You are wrong. This is very, very bad for us. You know why? Our economies are based almost entirely these days. You know, they're becoming digital. Everything is digital. When your phone don't work, that deal can't go through. That money can't change hands. Those taxes can't go up. Slowing up communications infrastructure can hinder our economy even by a little bit. Now, think about this. China is growing very, very quickly. The U.S. is growing as well, but China is quickly becoming the dominant, you know, dominant market on the planet. They're going to be a superpower. They are a superpower, right? If they can slow our economic growth by even a fraction of a percent, it's like imagine you're having a race with someone and you throw something in front of their path. You might be thinking, oh, I can easily jump over it. Yes. But every time you jump over that trash, it takes a little bit more energy than your opponent who's just, you know, jogging, you know, easily and then chucking things in your path. It takes you more energy to avoid than it takes them to implement. And admittedly, slowing our internet down, it's actually quite significant in damaging the economy. Now, let's be real. Our economy is extremely resilient and a slowing down of the internet won't stop the deals that are in place. But over time, it will have a visible impact. Okay, so 99% of all, you know, economic transaction might be fine. But here's the thing. How many people use Verizon Internet for their card, you know, card machines? You ever go to a cafe, you order a coffee, and they say the card machine is down, and you're like, all I have is my card? Boom. Store can't bring in money. Store won't pay taxes. Taxes won't go to government. Now multiply that across the country, in fact, in 2 different countries, and now we've got a conspiracy. I'm just kidding. I'm not saying I know that anything really happened, right? So as of right now, they say the outage appears to be affecting data, payments, calls, and texting for customers. No official statement has been given by the communications and technology company yet. But I will stress, excuse me, every time things like something like this happens, people immediately think we're under attack. With everything going on with China, the conspiracy hawks are going to be out circling like crazy. They say it appears the outage began around 10 a.m. Eastern. Subsided and then spiked back up again at 3 p.m. Eastern. Verizon has yet to make a statement regarding the issue. Down detector is showing much of the coastal areas experiencing this inconvenience. This includes L.A., Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, and more. And many Verizon users have flocked to Twitter to share their frustrations, one demanding the firm gets its crap together. So people on Twitter complaining, it's like, dude. So Verizon has had to be down nationwide. Anything else down? I didn't even notice this. I mean, maybe it's because I don't use Verizon. The outage comes a few months after Verizon customers on the East Coast were hit by a massive outage, leaving thousands unable to send text messages. The problem has affected Verizon users from New York to the southern tip of Florida, along with parts of the South and the Great Lakes area. It appeared mostly to involve mobile phone and internet service, though. Well, that's what Verizon is. What do you mean? Though some have reported issues with landline service as well. I guess if your cable TV is working, you're fine. Reports of service issues began shortly after 5 a.m. and quickly grew to the thousands. Well, yes, that's because people were waking up to their phones not working. Here's a quote. They say, we have confirmed there is a texting outage in the East Coast. Yeah. Okay. But let's see what happened in the UK and see if there's any similarities. In this story, they say, Three's mobile network should be back to normal by the end of day today. So this is today, right? The company has announced. Customers have been experiencing network problems since last night, with thousands left unable to make calls, send text messages, and get online. I also want to stress something. The reason why lethal crime is down in most developed nations, you're not going to believe it, cell phones. Yep. The reason lethal crime is down is because cell phones exist. When you tell people that, most of them say that makes no sense. What, owning a cell phone makes someone less likely to commit a violent crime? No. Violent crime is down for other reasons, but the issue is that when someone gets, say, shot or stabbed, the likelihood paramedics get there on time now is significantly higher, meaning that murder, now attempted murder, lethal crime is down. So a lot of people don't realize, they look at the stats and they're like, hey, look, crime, you know, murder is going down. And then you look at some countries and see murder going up and you're like, but it's only going up by a little bit, right? When you factor in cell phones existing and it going up a little bit, that means the crime rate is probably actually way, way high, but people aren't dying as often, which is still kind of good news, but don't let these things confuse you. They say, people have been reporting issues getting onto the network overnight, according to the tech tracking website Down Detector. But this afternoon, Three has issued an update recommending customers try turning their phone off and on again, or toggling airplane mode to try and fix it. They say, yeah, you get it. So here's the outage map, which I've already shown you. And of course, it's hitting London and Birmingham. And I think that might be Sheffield. I have no idea. I don't live in this country. All the British people are going to get mad at me now. They said, we are aware of network issues and are working hard to fix them. We know the impact this is having on your day, and we're sorry. Rest assured, we've got our best minds in the job. But what is the likelihood of cyber attack? And I'll say this. If it was a cyber attack, they're not going to tell you. They can't. If it came out that China or Russia or whoever implemented an attack on our mobile networks, well, then we'd have to retaliate. You know, people would not tolerate this kind of action against us, especially when someone's like, you know, on Tinder and they got a hot date and they're waiting to get that response. They're like, should I pick you up now or at 7? And then there's no message. They're like, what's happening? And then their phone stops working and they're like, no, tonight's the night, right? People get really, really angry. But let's be real. Jokes aside, business deals are going to get disrupted. And I'd imagine if it was a cyber attack, you're going to have people demanding the government do something. Sanctions, perhaps? The other scary thing as to why I think they wouldn't tell you is that it could seriously be like one 16-year-old kid in his basement in New Zealand with a botnet clicking a button and shutting down infrastructure in two major economies. Now, that's scary. And that's something they don't want you to realize. Back in the day with all the 7 years ago, there was a big hacker resurgence. And there were a bunch of groups and a bunch of crazy things. But the government was going after them hard. And I think I know why. You know, at the time in 2012, the question was like, why are they going after like hackers with like, man, 35 years in prison for some instances of like minor, you know, hackery. And I think the reason is hackers are extremely powerful. They have an immense amount of control. And they wanted to make sure everybody knew if you do anything like this, you will rot and we will come for you. Mark my words. It's one thing when you get somebody who, like, I don't know, someone can commit a crime and you demand they spend, there are people who commit murder and get only a few years in prison. And they say, oh, well, you know, we think they've changed with good behavior. But some of these hackers were getting 35 years. It's simple, man. In one court case that I had been to, the prosecution actually said, why should this person have power over us simply because they know how this works? There was something to that effect. And I think that's why they're so terrified of the hacker community. And I think it worked. I think throwing not just the book, but the library at them to make sure they rot in prison for the rest of their lives was a hard warning to anybody who would ever use the power of the internet and their knowledge of tech to cause problems. So, I'll wrap it up there. Look, I saw a story about a cell phone outage and I didn't care. I saw two stories about a cell phone outage and I still didn't really care, but I thought it'd be fun to talk about conspiracies, whatever, probably nothing. You know what I would say? Who was this? Was this Bill Maher? That if the cell phone networks go down twice within a day, my response is it's because sometimes networks go down. That's about it. Unless you can prove otherwise. Right. So I think it's fun to talk about the what ifs and the why and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm actually planning another YouTube channel with some other hosts about mysteries where we talk about the what ifs and the why and all that stuff. So, you know, that'll happen at some point. A lot of work going on behind the scenes. Thanks for hanging out. Next segment will be tomorrow at 10 a.m., podcast at 6:30 p.m., and I will see you all then.